tremble at that name. I love you,
I love you,
shield.
I need you,
shield. I want you,
shield.
Gotta have you.
I want you,
shield.
Lord,
I need you,
shield.
Gotta have
you,
shield.
Gotta have
you,
gotta have
you.
Something
was when I call him.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
Father God, I just thank you. I praise you. I give you glory for who you are, oh God. For all that you've done, oh God. For all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, oh God. Lord God, I just thank you for another opportunity, God, to stand in this place and share with your people, oh God. I pray, God, that ears be receptive, spirits be open. Lord God, to receive, Lord God, what you have on today. I pray, Lord God, for deliverance. I pray, God, for captives being set free. I pray, God, for new beginnings, oh God, that yesterday is gone, but today is a new day to start, oh God, a new beginning with you. Lord God, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for the man of God of this house who's allowed me the opportunity to be here. I pray that you continue to cover him, God. Continue to keep him. Continue to bless him, God. And continue to lead him and guide him, oh God. Keep your arms of protection around him, oh God. And Lord God, I thank you for the people of God in this house. My brothers and my sisters. I thank you, God, for them. And Lord God, just have your way. Speak to me. Speak through me. Do what you want to do. I yield my vessel to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. How many had a good week this week? Amen. That was a few hand claps. So some probably had some obstacles, huh? We probably all have had some obstacles to come before us this week, which is a part of life. I'm trying to contain myself up here, Jesus. Because I done messed around and got delivered myself studying the word. Hallelujah. Whew. And I'm trying to contain myself. Life be life. Life be life. But there's always a solution when life be life. Amen. And I believe this morning that God has given us one of the solutions. It's not the only solution, but one of the solutions. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to come from two passages of scripture, both of them in the book of Acts. First is going to be Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 25, beginning at verse 25. And when you have it, you can say amen. Good morning to all of you. Good morning to you online. Truly is a blessing. I don't take it for granted each opportunity I get to stand here and share. Never know when it may be my last time. Amen. But I'm truly thankful and grateful for this opportunity. All right, I'll be reading out of the Life Application Bible. But Acts 16, and the second passage will be the 28th chapter of Acts, verses 4 and 5. But we'll begin at Acts chapter 16, verses 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, because we are all here." And if you will go to the 28th chapter of Acts, verses 4 and 5. Let me find it myself. All right. When the islanders, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built the fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live." And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. If I could use for a subject, shake yourself loose. Tell your neighbor, shake yourself loose. In order to shake yourself loose, something must have you bound, or something must be attached to you. And this is why earlier I asked who all had a good week. Because a lot of times we encounter things, those that may have been here last Sunday, but from that Sunday to this Sunday, some things have happened. You know, and some things will try to attach themselves to us. And that's why I always say that God gives us a solution for everything that we encounter or go on in our life. He gives us a solution. And a lot of times we'll sit and we'll wait on God to do it. Well, it's some things we have to do. And so this morning, it's another opportunity for us to do some things. We got the opportunity to shake ourselves loose of some things that may be bothering us, or that may be hindering us, or things that we have gone through. When we look at Acts, the 16th chapter, and we see that Paul, if I can say a little bit about Paul, Paul was Saul. But then he had a Damascus Road experience, and God changed his name from Saul to Paul, because Paul became a new creature. Now, what I like about Paul is Paul had determination. He had whatever he did, he was committed to it. Paul, before he became Saul, was a persecutor of the Christians. He was going around killing them, tenaciously, boldly, didn't care, determined, committed, dedicated to killing Christians. But when he had that Damascus Road experience, God didn't take the determination from him. He didn't take that drive that he had in him from him. And just as committed and dedicated as he was to kill the Christians, he became a man that was sharing the good news at all costs. Paul spent half of his life in prison, you know, sharing the gospel behind prison walls, up against all kind of opposition. He was beaten. He was scourged. You know, Paul went through some things. If I could put it this way, like us, Paul went through some storms. You know, he went through some storms. He went through some things. We all go through things. Unbelievably to say, some people feel like, well, I shouldn't have to go through nothing. Some people actually believe they shouldn't have to go through anything, especially if we're children of God. But when you're a child of God, that is when you really start going through, because you be tested. You be tried, and God allows these things to happen so that we can be strengthened, so that we can have more faith in him, so that we can be stronger, so that we can be mature Christians in him. So Paul and Silas were in prison, and it was about midnight, midnight, that dark time that we have in our lives. That time when we feel like we can't see a way, but God already made the way. That time when your back is up against the wall and you ask yourself and the Lord, what am I going to do? Which way do I go? Which way do I turn? At midnight, we all have midnights in our lives, but it was about midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying, singing hymns to God. When we have our midnights, what do we do? What do we do in our midnights? Do we begin to give God praise? Or do we begin to sing and worship and glorify him? Or do we walk around and say, woe is me? Lord, I just don't know. See, because the enemy will whisper in your ear and tell you, you're not going to make it. How you going to do that? If God loves you so much, why you going through this? Why you going through that? It's not God's fault. God allows it, but it's not God that's doing it. A lot of times it's just bad decisions we make, or that we haven't did something that we were supposed to do that caused us to have midnights. But when we're in our midnight, as Paul and Silas did, we should be praying, singing, worshiping God, or either have our focus on God. Trusting in him that he's going to see us through, that he's going to bring us out, that if he did this for me back then surely, God, you'll do this for me now. He may not work it out the same way. It may take a little longer, but he teaches us how to trust him. You know, so where is your praise? Where is your praise? Those young people bless my heart this morning. They blessed my heart because they were so sincere in their singing, you know, innocent, sincere, singing unto God. And you could just feel the presence of God, you know. And their lives have just begun. They haven't even begun to see trials. They haven't even begun to see tribulations. But those of us that are older, that are seasoned, we've been through some things. We going through some things, and we going to still go through some things. But how do you handle what you're going through, or when you're going through it? How do you handle it? Do you praise? Do you pray? Do you call on the Lord? Or do you have a pity party? Or do you feel hopeless? Or you feel like, what's the use? Those are the things that we need to shake ourselves loose from this morning. Who told you you weren't going to make it? That's Vicky Winers. I'm quoting. Vicky Winers said, who told you that you weren't going to make it through? Who told you you weren't going to make it out? You got to shake yourself loose. You got to shake those things that's attached to you. That depression, that sickness, disappointment. Is every day going to be a good day? No. Every day is not going to be a good day, but whatever day that God allows us to be here, we can give him praise for whatever we encounter on that day. Because how many of you know that sometimes you just got to praise your way through? You got to praise your way through. They said in that song, I survived, and I'm going to testify. I'm all right, even though some people may think you out of your mind. How can she be praising God and going through that? How can he be praising God and going through that? They must be crazy. They must be out of their mind. But baby, you must don't know the God that we serve. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. And every word that God says in his word, I believe it. Every promise he made, I believe it that he's going to give it to me. So whether I'm in prison, when I'm in a dungeon, when I'm in a hole, wherever I may be, I can still give God praise. You do know that your breakthrough is in your praise, right? That you feel down and out, I dare you to start praising God, and I guarantee you, you'll be lifted up. Some chains gonna begin to fall off. Some shackles gonna begin to be loosed if you begin to praise God. Hallelujah. I wouldn't care what nobody sitting beside me have to say. If it's attached to me, I don't want it attached to me. I'm gonna shake myself loose. Because I don't want it. There's a song that says, God, take everything. I don't want it. Take it, God. But it's something I got to do. I got to give it. I got to shake this stuff off of me. So praying, praise. You can praise your way through. And then guess what? The other prisoners was listening. You might be sitting beside somebody and you praising God. Irritate them. Irritate them with your praise. Irritate them saying, thank you, Jesus. I wish they shut up. Irritate them. Irritate them to the point till they start praising him too. Go in Walmart singing, everybody looking. It was a praise report I received on just Thursday. And I was about to take off it, my car was in drive. And I got that praise report. I say, excuse me. I put that car in park. And I gave God praise. It even wasn't for me, but I gave God praise because he moved because of what's been prayed. Hallelujah. He moved for one of my sisters. He moved in her life. And baby, I praise God for. So I don't care where you at, you can give God praise. And you ain't got to just praise him for yourself. You got to praise him for somebody else God done moved for. Yeah, we just got to learn how to give him praise because he just worthy of the praise. Amen. So she was listening, and she was crying. I was praising God. But I know that they were tears of joy. Tears of joy. You know, so praise is comely. God inhabits. God wants us as his people, as his children, to give him praise for what he's done, what he's doing. You think God just do things for us he can do it just because he's God, but he wants something in return. You know, he wants something in return. You go to the bank. If you don't deposit money in the bank, what you gonna get out the bank? No deposit, no return. So if God deposits praise in us, then he expects a return on it. If he does things in our life, he expects a return on it. We got to give him something back. You can't cheat him, but we think we'd be cheating him. Can't cheat him. But other people, the other prisoners, were listening to them. And so you'd be surprised that people will see you praising or hear you worshiping, you know, and then they're listening, you know, and you never know that it provokes them to praise God. It provokes them to begin worshiping God. They may look at you strange. They in prison. How are they praising God? They just singing. They just as happy, you know, as they can be, you know. But if you've lived to the point to where you trust in God and you know God will work things out, there are some that don't know that yet. But when they see you praising God and worshiping him, even in dark places, even in midnight places, because somebody's always watching what you're going through. And they're not so much as watching what you're going through, they're watching how you go through it. They're watching how you go through it. Especially us as believers, we're Christians. We're children of God. We profess it that we're children of God. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. But then the first wind blow, it's a knock you out. So you got somebody saying, well, if they God can't keep them together, I don't need to be serving. They God. You know, so we profess it. So you got to walk the walk, in other words. You got to walk the walk that you talk. Because it's going to show up. People are watching. People are listening, you know. So you have to be careful. All right? This is my favorite word. Suddenly. How many want God to do a suddenly? In your life. In your finances. In everything that concerns you. God do a suddenly. We talked about it this morning. That's why I say God is in the business of blowing our minds. He will blow our minds, especially with a suddenly. Woo, God, where'd that come from? Woo, God, you did that. And you got to praise him right where you are. I don't care where I'm at. I praise him in Walmart, in the lunchroom, wherever God moved for me, I'm a I'm going to give him praise. What they going to do? You got to be free to praise him. And this is why when things are attached to you, they weigh us down. They hinder us from praising God, from worshiping God, because our focus is more on the circumstances that we're going through or whatever it is that's going on concerning us than God. We come in here. We bring stuff in here when we come. We bring, how I'm going to pay this bill up in here. We bring, my child made me so mad before I got here. We bring, I just feel so bad. We bring all of that in the house because those are the things that we focus on. But I think I said it last week, that if we enter into those doors, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and with praise, you ain't going to even worry about what's going on. You may come up in here hurting. You'll leave out and tell me, where the pain at? Where is that? You'll look for it because God just has a way of just doing stuff suddenly, and you ain't even paying it no attention. And when you know anything, he done did it suddenly. So there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Imagine that. Just praising God, not even focusing on the situation, not even focusing on what's going on in my life, not even focusing on how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to do that, but I'm just praising God. I'm just giving him glory. I'm just worshiping him. And then he did a sudden move, and the foundations began to shake. And then guess what happened? See, because they had to play their part. They praised him. And then Jesus played his part. The foundations shook, and he loosed them. He loosed them from the shackles. The Bible says at once, all the prison doors flew open. It didn't say nobody opened them. The prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains came loose. It didn't say nobody used the key. Because praise and worship and lifting up the name of the Lord would just free you. The chains got to break. The shackles have to be loosed. But now it becomes a choice. If I want it to stay on me, then guess what? Because I'm waiting on you, Jesus, to just come and break these chains off me. I'm just waiting on you, Lord, to just come and loose these shackles off my feet. And I'm just standing there waiting. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and said, I don't know what you're waiting on. Because I've already did what I need to do for her to break the chains and to loose the shackles. So it becomes our duty, my duty, to shake myself loose. That means I got to get back in position. I got to get back to praying. I got to get back to trusting and knowing the God that I know him to be who he is, and tell the devil that you is a liar. Say that you may have knocked me down, but I ain't out. I'm going to get back up again. Yes, indeed. We fall down, but we get back up. We get back up. We all have those weak moments, you know, in our life. We're not super Christians. You know, we're in a fleshly body, and we all have weak moments, you know, in our lives, to where sometimes we just drop the ball. Sometimes we mess up. You know, sometimes we make wrong decisions. But then when we become aware of it, you just can't stay in wilding. You got to shake that thing off. You got to shake it loose. You know, you got to get it up off of you, whatever it takes. You know, you praise God. Walk through your house and praise God. You know, you can drive the enemy. You know, the enemy don't care. He a spirit. You can't see him. He attached to things. He attached to people. You know, you can't see him attached. You know, but have you ever had that feeling? It's just something just ain't right. You know, why I feel so heavy? You know, why I feel so sad? You know, why I feel like this? You know, because a spirit has attached itself to you, and you can't see it. But you have to shake that thing loose. Don't just go on about your business thinking, well, okay, whatever, I'm just feeling like that. Spiritual. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. And once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. It might be somebody in here this morning that's bound. Something has you bound. Could be relationships. Could be finances. It could be just your mindset. Your thinking. You know your thinking can have you bound. Because somebody might say, well, don't take all that up there, what she doing. Come on. Maybe not. Told you last week, what you see, what you get. It might not, but right now it is what it is. So even our thinking has to change, because do you not know that your mind is the battlefield for the enemy? Before anything can get in your heart, it got to get in your mind first. And the devil don't want us to know God. He don't want us to know the power that we even have. He don't even want us to know the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. He don't want us to know that. So if he can keep my mind filtered with all this other kind of stuff, then I can't think about anything of trying to get Jesus in my heart to trust him to do anything for me. And so then I live in a state of hopelessness, and then I have no peace, and then I always trying to figure it out on my own instead of trusting God to work it out for me. You know, so we need the Lord. We need to praise God. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. And he wasn't finna kill them, but he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, the jailer, he, you know, this shows the integrity of Paul. This shows the true man of God, you know, that Paul was. Because when the jailer woke up, he said, well, they're gonna kill me anyway because I done let these prisoners escape. Those that's been in corrections know that when you have an escapee, everybody on the, and they're going to try to find out who fault it was. How did this detainee or inmate escape? Whose watch was it on? You know, and probably would feel like, I'm dead. You know, it was me. You know, but the jailer woke up, so he was going to kill himself because he knew that the prisoners had escaped, and then he knew that it was going to be found out that the prisoners escaped, and guess what? They were going to kill him anyway because he was left in charge of the prisoners, you know. But then Paul shouted, anytime you see but, you know something finna change. So, but Paul shouted. He didn't just say it timid. He said, he didn't say, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Because can I use my holy imagination? The prisoner guard drew his sword. Now, the Bible don't say what else he did with it, but he might have had it to his neck, you know, and was about to. But then Paul shouted and said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. So he got his attention, you know, to stop, you know. So praise is comely. So whatever situation you may find yourself in, whatever midnight you in, just give God praise. Because I promise you, you give God praise, and then it'll be worked out. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. How long you may have to weep, I don't know how many days it may be, but the Bible says weeping may endure for a night. So 24 hours is daylight, so it won't be long, you know, before God move on your behalf. Amen, 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 amen. All right, some of us may be sitting up in here dealing with things that may have happened in our childhood. Seeds have been planted. People have told you, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You'll never be nothing. You ain't gonna amount to nothing. Or negativity, you know, around us. And someone may have planted that seed. And as a child, but then as you grow up, guess what? The seed is growing. You know, and so it hinders, you know, you from ever thinking that you will be who God says you are. You know, well, that's not me. Low self-esteem. See, things we don't like to talk about, you know, in the church, because we like to hear about God is good and he is good. You know, he's holy. He's all of that, you know. But he's concerned about every part of us. He's concerned about not just our spiritual part. He's concerned about the outside of us as well. Now, he lives on the inside of us, but we don't want him to just be dormant, you know, on the inside of us. We want him to be alive and active where he can show up on the outside. You know, so when we feel like we don't amount to nothing, or when we feel like we're not worth it, or and when we feel like nobody loves me, or I never find love, or I never be loved, and all of these kind of things. It's springing from something that's took root, you know, from maybe younger years or earlier years, and it haven't been dealt with. These are the things that we have to shake ourselves loose from. We got to shake ourselves loose from them things. Then guess what happened? You have a hard time trusting people. Ooh. Now, in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, is anybody in here not saved? Not trying to put anybody on blast. So, no hands went up. So, everybody say, so y'all my brothers and sisters. Everybody in here is brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ. But I guarantee you, it might be 5%, maybe 10%, that trust each other in here. You're sitting by somebody, you don't even trust them. You done hugged somebody, spoke to somebody, you don't even trust them. But that's your brother, and that's your sister in Christ. The world trusts each other more than we do in the body of Christ to say that we are children of God. So if we can't trust each other, how do we trust God? And all of us are made in the image of God. That's what my Bible tells me, that we all are made in the image of God. You know, that so if we trust God, then we all trust each other, right? But because I done had some hurt down the road, because I done had some pain down the road that I had to endure. So now I'm going to judge. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to judge everybody that I encounter for the same one that hurt me. So what if Jesus looked at all of us as the ones that put him on the cross and crucified him? Which he still loved them too. He wanted them to change, but he knew they wasn't. He loved them. But then what if he seen us? Or what if Jesus said, I can't trust you. I can't trust you preachers to preach my word. I can't trust you deacons to lead ministry. I can't trust any of you to witness for me. What if Jesus didn't trust us to do what we do? And we mess up. And yet he still trusts us to do it. But we don't trust each other. You got to shake yourself loose from whatever it was or whoever it was that hurt you. Because it wasn't a person that you don't trust. And if you don't trust that person, I'm not saying you have to, but you got to forgive them. You forgive them, we're going to go to that. Because there's some snakes. Let me go to chapter 28. Verses 4 and 5. And it says, well, I started up. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. So we see back in Acts chapter 16, you know, Paul was in prison, him and Silas, but they praised God. The foundation should God deliver them out of prison. You know, they were loose, they were bound, but then when Jesus got on the scene, after they began to praise and pray and sing psalms and hymns and worship him, guess what happened? The shackles was loosed, the chains was broken. In between that time, Paul went through some more stuff. You know, he went through some more stuff before the councils and all of this kind of stuff, and he was protected a couple of times. And so we get to chapter 27. They got on his way to share the good news. A storm arose, and that's why I was talking about. We had those storms in our lives. So Paul, I think in my study, it was 267 men on this boat. So they encountered a storm. And then the storm got boisterous. Now, Paul, mind you, Paul had told them that I think that we don't need to go any farther, you know, because it's going to get worse up ahead. But being people that know it all, They ain't listen at Paul, you know, because you the commander in chief. Now let's go this way. So what happened, they kept going, and the storm became really, really bad. How many times in your life have you been in a storm and you just didn't see your way out? You didn't see no way out. You didn't see how it was going to happen or how it could be done, you know, and then you just gave up, you know. See, because the enemy don't play fair. When you dealing with finances and you get desperate, and the enemy will tell you, and see, God ain't moving fast enough for us. So the enemy will tell us, you know, God ain't going to do that for you. You know, this, that. A preacher once said, he'll move at the 13 o'clock hour. And he'll be on time at the 13 o'clock hour. But the enemy will whisper in your ear and tell you that it's over with, that you're not going to make it, or that this can't happen, you know, because you're already struggling with trusting God. You're already struggling with not focusing on him, but looking at it in the natural for what you see it is, and not believing that it could happen for me, or that God won't do this for me, you know, but he will. And so the enemy will make you get in a desperate state. You might go to stealing. The devil don't play fair. Holy Ghost filled, saved, born again Christians, it will happen to. It will happen to. You know, this is why you have to be rooted, grounded in God and trust him, because you got to trust in something. You'll look to the wrong source to provide for you. You'll start doing things you don't have no business doing. I'm not going to be vulgar. To make ends meet, Jody, Miss Jody. It works both ways. You know, we'll start doing things to try to get these needs met. And God is there to meet the needs, because the word of God said, I shall supply all your needs. He didn't say some of them. He said, all your needs according to my riches in glory. But what we need to do is just ask God, help me how to budget, Amber. Mimi, help me learn how to budget and not buy stuff that I don't need, and then try to live above my means, trying to keep up with what somebody else has. I'm so blessed and happy to see my sisters and brothers with their new vehicles instead of getting them, but I can't get there right now. But I ain't mad at them. I ain't jealous of them. I'm happy for them. I can't afford it right now. I ain't finna go in debt trying to do that to keep up with them. That's what we do. Can't stand to see nobody with nothing. Oh, I'm going to get me one. How's your finances? Then you get in overload and struggling, and then you want to blame God. It ain't God. You did that. But now God is so gracious and merciful, he'll help us. He'll help us get through it. He'll make a way for us. But then you have to learn the lesson. Don't do that no more. Oh, girl, I'm happy. Brother, I'm happy. When you go ride me, keep riding in Bessie. See, our mindset has to change. Our thinking, you know, it doesn't make you any less of a person. When that happened, I mean, you don't know the situation. The one they had could have been about to go out on them. I mean, you don't know. Then you jump up, ooh, they got to go. Oh, I ain't going to let them outdo me. That's the kind of mentality we have. We have that kind of mentality. And it's sad to say, but we shouldn't, but we do. You see it every day, you know. So they were in a storm. But once they got to shore, chapter 28, verse 1 says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islander showed us unusual kindness. So on this island, there were people already there. And the angel of the Lord had already came to Paul and told him what he had promised him, that he was going to stand before Caesar. He was going to stand before him. So Paul already knew, you know, that God had promised him this, so he wasn't worried about it, you know. So They built the fire. The islanders did. They built the fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Now, this is what got me right here. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, which was sticks, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Now, my thing is, I said, now, Lord, the fire was already going. The islander started the fire. Then Paul was just gathering some sticks to put on the fire to add more. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why that viper didn't come out when the islander started that fire? I said, because they started the fire and Paul was gathering sticks to keep the fire going. So I'm like, it was heat already. So I'm like, well, Lord, why the fire, why the viper didn't come out then, but came out for Paul? Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. Now, another Bible said it was a poisonous viper that would do one of them sudden, as we were talking about, the venom kill you instantly. But my thing is this. Paul, a viper, normally would do that and go on about their business. Why this viper hanging on? He singled out Paul, that old serpent, the devil. He singled out Paul, but then he didn't just bite him and go on about his business. He latched on to him. He latched on to him. And the Bible says, when the islander saw the snake hanging from his hand, so I'm like, he must have been hanging for a few seconds. They said to each other, this man must be a murderer. See, some people don't never let you live down your past. See, because the viper there, well, this man must be a murderer. See, these people had other gods. They didn't trust in the true and living God. So when they seen this happen, first thing they start doing is being judgmental. They start criticizing and saying, well, he must be a murderer because, look, he survived the storm, but he couldn't make it this far. Ain't that what we do? You come through one thing, then somebody say, well, Josh, he must have did something wrong because look at, come here, Job. With the three friends that he had to do something wrong, Job, for this to come up on you. You know, so they sat back, they watched, and they criticized, and saying that this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live because he done survived a whole storm. And then he done come to the island and done got snake bit. How many of us been snake bit? That's why we don't trust each other. Because we done got bit by a snake. It's snake season, isn't it? Snakes coming out. They been out. But if you got the fire, Holy Ghost fire, on the inside of you, can't do you no harm. The word of God says that we can walk on scorpions and pick up deadly snake and it won't harm us. This is what happened with Paul. He wasn't a murderer. Verse 5. But Paul, something to change, shook the snake off into the fire right where he come from. You got to know the authority that you have. That where whatever the devil may send, you got the authority to send it right back. It's in you. You got the power, you got the authority to send it back where it came from. That's the power that Jesus has given us. That's the power that is operating in us even today. He shook it off. This is why we got to shake some things loose. You may have been snake bit. Shake it off. You may have endured pain. You got to shake yourself loose from it. You may have endured heartache, disappointment, whatever it may be. You got to shake yourself loose from whatever it is that's keeping you bound, that's keeping you from not loving, that's keeping you from not trusting. You got to shake yourself loose from it. You got to do it. You got to do it. I don't want this on me. I don't want to be like this anymore. I got to shake this. See, I done got delivered. I done got delivered studying it. God did something for me studying it. You know, so it's for all of us. You got to shake yourself loose. You got marriages on the rocks. Shake yourself loose. If it ain't going to work, it ain't going to work. Shake yourself loose, and then you can still be there and still not be bound or be enslaved. You could be free, and that's what God wants. He wants us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and guess what? And suffered no ill effects. He bit him, and that's it. He just bit him. He bit him. Oof. There are some vipers with two legs. There are some pythons with two legs. There are some rattlesnakes with two legs. And not saying that in that form, but they have that spirit, you know. And so when a snake bite, you got to use the authority and the power that God has given you, and then you use discernment, you will see them coming. And they won't even get close to you. My grandmother used to always say, don't put a snake in your bosom. Because you put them in your bosom, what they going to do? They're going to bite you. And if you perhaps have been bitten, you'll know not to put the snake back in your bosom, but you still love the, you still love them. You still be nice. You still be kind. So we see here that Paul had just survived. He just survived a storm. Normally right after a blessing, right after a victory, right after a healing, right after a deliverance, guess what's going to happen? The attack comes. This is what happened with Paul. He had just survived the storm. He had just survived going through all that he had went through before he got on the boat, you know. And then he survived the storm, got on the island to where a safe place, he said. He said it was a safe place. The islanders welcomed them. And then what happened? The islanders didn't do anything to him. That old serpent, the devil, came out the fire. He came after Paul. So let me tell you something. Anytime that you're on the Lord's side, when you make Jesus your choice, that's why I say you got to go through something. You're not going to be a child of God and not go through something. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. Circumstances going to arise. It's not going to always go the way you want it to go, but you got to trust God to see you through that thing. And he will see you through. He will see you out. There may be some things you may have to go without, but it's not going to change or stop him from being God. You know, so he shook it off. He shook it off. He survived the storm, yet another attack was waiting. Whenever God bring us through something, don't get happy. I mean, you could be happy. Thank you, Jesus, giving praise for bringing you out. But when he bring us out as children of God, be prepared. You need to pray. You need to be reading. You need to be studying, worshiping, and praising God, because another one is on the way. It's just, I'm like, Lord, you know, you just don't never let us be relaxed. It's just always something. You know, so when you come through one storm, or when you come through one trial, or when you come through one circumstance, it's another one waiting. Why do you say, read your Bible, study the word, stay prayed up? Because the one you just come out of, the next one is going to be a little bit tougher. And you're going to need some strength. You're going to need some tenacity. You're going to need some standing power, you know, to go through it. Because it's not going to be like the last one. But thanks be unto God, you can look at the last one and say, God, if you brought me through that one and I didn't think I was going to make it, surely you will bring me through this. So the enemy attacks right after you win a victory or God blesses you or does something good in your life. And then you're going to have the people that's going to criticize when you're going through. You know, it's a shame, but there are people in the body of Christ, they just love to see other Christians go through. Why are we like that? We get a joy out of it. We ain't saying it out loud, but inwardly, we're happy. And we're glad that others are going through or suffering or these kind of things. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, look at people in the world. I'm coming up, and since I've been older, people in the world, they share. They look out for each other. We in church. Mm-mm. Well, I ain't doing that. I got mine. He or she can get hers. Walk by each other. Don't even speak. It's just cordial. Nod your head. Do a wave. Ain't saying you got to be all over, but it's just common courtesy. I mean, you don't even need the Holy Spirit for that. Shake yourself loose from that spirit. And notice what Paul did, or what he didn't do. When Paul shook the viper off into the fire, he didn't have no ill effects. Just imagine what you would have did if a viper would have latched on to you. Y'all won't know what I'd have hurt myself. But Paul didn't yell. He didn't scream. He didn't shout, holler, nothing. He just shook it off. He ain't panic. He ain't freeze. And when them people was looking, them people like waited. The Bible say they waited a long time for Paul to die. They waited for him to swell up and die. Because normally when you bit by a poisonous snake, that venom goes through your veins and it kills you. And they looking and they waiting. And Paul probably just getting more sticks putting on the fire. I mean, it don't say that, but I use my imagination. You know, they looking and they waiting. Or Paul just probably meditating on God or something. And they just sitting there waiting for him to die. It said, verse 6, the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time, I don't know how long it was, and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, then they changed their minds and said he was a god. Because remember, these people worship all kind of gods. They didn't worship the true and living God. So if anybody can survive a snake bite, surely this must be a god. But no, Paul wasn't a god. He trusted in his God. He trusted in his God. He trusted in the promises that God had made him. Unlike us today, we have to trust in the promises that God has made to us. If God says that the cattle on 1,000 hills, it all belongs to us, we got to believe the promise. It might not be cattle, but that means every need, everything that you need. It's just beyond 1,000 hills. That's over and beyond. And the sky is the limit. We can have it if we want it, but we got to position ourselves in order to receive from God those things. All right, so he didn't suffer any harm. So the fire brought that snake out, and then the fire was where the snake was destroyed. You know, so how many of you know Holy Ghost fire will destroy some things, you know, and the enemy don't play fair. And like I was saying, some people may have come in here, some of you overwhelmed, some of you like hopeless, wondering how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to do this. I pray this message today will help us all to know that you got to shake yourself loose.